Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Live from New York. It's the show that is a few minutes away from Brew's official Super Bowl pick.
Wow.
And he has been grinding. We told you all week.
Two weeks.
Yeah, congratulations. You made it, buddy. You made it. Just hold on. It's
great.
First things first. Today, is Patrick Mahomes a lock to win his third Super Bowl MVP? Wow. Meanwhile, in just over half an hour following Brew's pick, Bijan Robinson joins the show. Live in studio via a remote, but it will feel like he's in studio. And finally, what are the chances that Purdy has an A game on Sunday? It's a little bit of a Cowboys franchise that we're bringing. Alongside Chris Broussard, who we'll hear from in just a second, I'm Kevin Wilds. Nick,
yeah.
Do you have any hints from the teaser of which way Brew is going?
Well, it looked like he saw something on the board and pointed to it, but what he was pointing to was heads or tails. So I do not know.
Those were both teams' playbooks. That's what was on the board.
Teams' playbooks. All right, well, let's kick it off. We start with the moment we've all been waiting for, the Super Bowl of Super Bowl picks. Chris Broussard, who has been on a legacy-defining streak of accurate predictions, dating back to the Warriors, to be honest with you.
That's right.
Yeah. Has grinded the All-22, consulted experts, and for some reason has been jumping rope. All for this moment. So without further ado, Brew, who wins Super Bowl 58?
Well, look, as you guys saw, it wasn't easy.
No.
I mean, I needed the physical exercise because I was spending hours at that board going over the plays, the Chiefs plays, what Spags might do, what Reed might do, so on and so forth. So I just needed a little physical relief. That's what that was about when I'm spending the night here. And people might think it was easy. You might think it was easy because, look, the Chiefs, I've said all week, and that my 2 weeks of study did not change my mind on the Chiefs should be favored.
Okay.
I'm still shocked that the Niners, not that they don't have a chance, but I was shocked that they're favored. Because, look, the Chiefs have been better in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They got the best quarterback in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got the best coach arguably right now in the world. They've got the defense that has been better than the Niners this year,
by far,
at least certainly lately. And they've got the experience. Now, but what tripped me up.
Huh. What else?
The Niners are not without hope, though.
Oh. Well.
Because the Chiefs play man coverage about as much as anybody. They can go zone. They win some zone against Miami, but they like to play a lot of man. And the Niners are great against man with their, you know, with Kittle and all their weapons, Debo and all those guys. They got a lot of weapons, so they eat up man. Spags loves to blitz. I mean, he devastated the Ravens with the blitz. Guess who's the best quarterback in the league against the blitz?
Don't tell me Purdy.
Look at that. Yards per pass. This is all against the blitz. Pass TDs, passer rating. He eats up the blitz, and they as a team eat up man coverage. Also, Nick, if there's a – it's not a weakness, but the weakest part of the Chiefs defense, I would say, is the run defense, all right? 15 of their 20 games, including the playoffs, they gave up more than 100 yards rushing. So we know that Niners have the best running back in the world. So they and the thing about Shanahan, he will not go away. If it's working, he won't go away from it like for some reason Baltimore did. All right, so I took all of that into consideration. And then there's another factor.
There's more.
It's called mojo.
Yeah, this is
Kyle Shanahan, is he going to fail again? I mean, this is three times on the big stage. I mean, including championship.
Do you think he's
games.
On pumpkin alert?
I wouldn't say pumpkin alert
pumpkin
like you
what?
Said, but he better win. He needs to win this game. Also, the Niners have been. You could argue they should have lost the last two games, but they found a way. And while I think the Chiefs should definitely be the favorite, I know they're not for some reason. We've seen a lot of upsets in Super Bowls.
Okay.
I mean, Tom Brady upset by Nick Foles. Tom Brady upset by Eli Manning. Tom Brady himself is a first-year starter, upsets Kurt Warner, mm-hmm. the greatest show on turf. Gentlemen, please remove the hats.
Oh, my gosh.
You're not
going
to jump excited. You're not
going
to do it for the third straight.
I hate to ruin what would be a wonderful trip to Kansas City next week.
He's not
but give me the
wow.
Niners!
Wow.
Give me the Niners!
I did not see that happening.
I thought, oh, my God.
This is objective. This, give me the Niners, yes.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
I'm shocked.
I am, too. This is going to ruin
people,
our Wednesday.
If people think that we, oh, you got to go against the Chiefs. No.
I was totally convinced. I was so convinced Brew was going to pick the Chiefs. That's why we have waited until today for this. Brew obviously had to do all his research.
Yeah.
But I was so convinced you were going to pick the Chiefs. I was like, well, if you pick them on Monday, a lot of the rest of the week of shows is going to feel anticlimactic.
This is
going to be your worst time going against the Chiefs. Because you picked the Bills
the
to beat them.
The last time was pretty bad.
No.
The Ravens.
Well, you picked the Bills to beat them, and that game was close. You picked the Ravens to beat them, and that game, the final score was close, but it didn't feel close.
Yep.
This game, the final score will not be close, and it will not feel close. Wilds, you know my theory on when to put on a winter coat?
Oh, yeah. I don't love this
you don't
theory,
love
but
this?
It is a theory.
So it is, I'm a big believer in getting acclimated. I'm a big believer in the winter. I will wait as long as possible to put on a coat, so then when it's actually really cold, the coat actually provides me some warmth, as opposed to I was wearing it when it's 40 degrees out. Kansas City has been getting acclimated to tough postseason opponents, and now they get a breather. Kansas City had to go from Josh Allen to Lamar Jackson, and now they're down to Brock Purdy. This would be like if in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, you had King Hippo, then you beat Mike Tyson, and then all of a sudden they're like, wait, before you win, Soda Popinski's coming through. You're like, well, that's easy. I just beat Tyson.
It's a video game from 20 years ago.
Yeah, 30 years. Really closer to 40 years ago, but the audience gets it.
Go ahead.
The Kansas City's defense, on the other hand, has just dealt with the Baltimore Ravens defense, the only defense in football that had an argument they were better than the Chiefs this year, and Kansas City found a way to move the football on them. What have the Niners been doing? The Niners have been defensively going up against the Packers. Don't argue with me about it, Wilds. They were a bad defense. Yeah. And the Lions, who were a bad defense. What have they gone against quarterback-wise? And now they're going up against the best defense in football, Kansas City. Quarterback-wise, Jordan Love, who's a good player, but overachieved at the end of the year, first year in the postseason, and Jared Goff, who's a fine player, and now you are going up against someone who is trying to become the greatest player of all time. And this postseason, despite the Chiefs having the far harder path of opponents, how have they done in those games? How have they looked? If we can show it to you, the Chiefs have controlled all three games, trailing for just 12% of the time. The Niners have lived from behind. And then I will add one last thing on this note. Brock Purdy this year, when the Niners have lost, has played poorly. And we can show it to you. And what you are going to see against a dominant Chiefs defense that led the league in batted passes, which is a big problem for an undersized quarterback that, as Bruce says, does not have a great offensive line in front of him. You're going to see passes batted down. You're going to see Brandon Ayuk erased by L'Jarius Sneed, because if you can erase Justin Jefferson and the best receiver, Tyreek Hill twice, you can erase Brandon Ayuk. George Kittle and his 40 playoff yards per game doesn't scare anybody. And unless Christian McCaffrey pulls off a Terrell Davis in the 97 Super Bowl, this isn't America. This should be an epic, but it won't be. 31-13 Kansas City.
Wow.
And to be fair, I did not call for a blowout against Baltimore. I called for a six-point game. And against Buffalo, I said 34-24, and it did 27-24 thanks to a fumble at the goal line. So I have not been calling for blowouts throughout this, this postseason. I think this is the weakest opponent Kansas City's played since Miami in round one.
Which is interesting because obviously most of the year they looked like the best team until they struggled, and then Baltimore waxed them, and then Baltimore looked like the best team. 5 weeks ago, it would have been like they would have been a heavier favorite. Now, I don't even, like I said, I don't even think they should be favorite, but they would have been a heavier favorite. So I expect that defense was bad last week or 2 weeks ago. But I think they're going to bounce back. They got some pride.
So, okay. You are really rolling with the Iowa Mafia big time.
Are we moving on, Wilds?
Yeah, but I'm going to ask one more question.
Yeah, but good, because I got something as well. But go
ahead. The question is this, bro.
Wilds is shocked.
I am
Nick, both of you guys are shocked.
I'm shocked.
You're like disappointed.
I'm not disappointed. Well, a few things for the audience. One, the way this show works, to be 100% honest with you, it's a little bit like when you believe in Santa Claus when you're like 11 years old. Mm-hmm. You're like, I kind of have a feeling what's going on here, but I'm going to go along with it. I kind of have an idea of when the banners drop. I kind of, you know, I got a sense of it.
Yeah. Right.
I had no idea this was coming. Zero. Yeah. The second reason I'm a little bit disappointed is because I feel like you know better.
Yeah.
Oh.
I do.
In your decades of journalism, there's a certain tenet that belongs right up there next to the phrase that I coined, defense wins championships.
Yeah.
And that's don't bet against greatness. And however good you think Brock Purdy is, we know that there is one guy who is undebatably great. And to pick against him, yes, in the Super Bowl seems like it goes against years
and decades of experience. Before. LeBron is objectively great, and he's lost six times.
He lost to Tom Brady,
LeBron is lost.
Brew. Please don't dusty the board. I didn't.
No.
Here's the problem with you surprising me, Brew. I don't, because we already had to eliminate you.
I figured I'm already on the board.
Yeah.
How can I get on the board?
But
again?
I remember when I put that on there and I told you you could pick, do you want that one or Cowboy Brew? Well, Cowboy Brew was still in my drawer. And it's the only way to manage to put you on the board. So I'm going to have to find a spot for you where, right here. We'll put you right next Dapper Brew and Cowboy Brew, and you could be double eliminated. I didn't want to do it, and I'm sorry to put Cowboy. I know you don't love the picture. I didn't see that one coming.
What a
Monday.
What a Monday we're going to have.
Oh, I'm glad I shocked y'all.
We're going to have red balloons for somebody. All right, moving on. Mahomes favored to win his third MVP. His performance in past Super Bowls, ring number one. 62% completion percentage, two touchdowns, two INTs, comeback victory over Jimmy G. Appearance number two, Brady and the Bucks ran for his life. Then last year, three touchdowns, but under 200 yards, won his second MVP. So Nick, two wins, but still feels like there's more there. You can really see that have a full Mahomes experience. Mm-hmm. Are you expecting a Mahomes masterpiece?
Yes. Underrated game of last year when he won league MVP, maybe his best game of the year, was against this San Francisco defense, which while it didn't have Chase Young, who cares, it did have Hufanga, who's outstanding. And I understand they've changed out defensive linemen, but it's still the main core of the defense, and I would argue they had an even better, and I like Wilkes, but an even better defensive coordinator with D'Amico. And all Mahomes did was the Chiefs scored 44, he threw for 420 yards, he had a 130 rating. And as you alluded to, we can show you Mahomes' postseason career ranks. And he is, of course, first in everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one thing missing. So if you show him his touchdown interception ratio and passer rating by round, what sticks out is the Super Bowls are not like the others. Now, he was named the most valuable player of two of them, but the numbers aren't quite there. And in a game where he can stand alone and third all-time postseason victories, just one win, if we can show that, behind Joe Montana for his career if he wins this weekend, There is an element of Mahomes painting his masterpiece within the year he was most doubted, with the worst weapons, with the most adversity, going having his first ever great start-to-finish Super Bowl. And we are in Friday before the Super Bowl, Brew, and we have not mentioned this stat once, which is, where is this game? In a dome. So Patrick Mahomes, as it turns out, has never lost in a dome. And in fact, 330 yards, averages a 13-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. If the conditions are perfect, so is he. So for all of those reasons, and because of what's at stake, locking in the dynasty, the first back-to-back in 20 years, having it simply be him and Brady for the rest of time, I think Mahomes is going to play the best game he has played all year and the best Super Bowl he's ever played.
Because he's had few masterpieces, if any, this year. Now, you could say some of these playoff games he was great, but, you know, he didn't throw for his typical numbers and stuff like that. Obviously, I'm saying no, because if he has a masterpiece,
you're in trouble.
I'm going to be wrong. I think that Nick Bosa, he needs a big game, and I think he'll have one. He's going to be going against Juwan Taylor, and I think he's going to be able to.
What if
he's
Juwan
only got? They only
him?
Got two. Well, hopefully he'll be called for those holds if he does it. And then I think Hargrave too, Javon Hargrave. I don't know if Tooney is playing. We don't know yet.
Probably not.
Right. So I thought the backup had a little bit of trouble against Baltimore on some run plays where he didn't clear out. And so I think Hargrave could have a big game against the backup center. They got to get
guard,
pressure
backup
on Mahomes.
Guard.
Yeah, they got to. Yeah, my bad. They got to get pressure on Mahomes. And no, I don't think he's gonna have a huge game. Like you saw, he has yet to have. He's been great in the Super Bowls as far as winning MVPs and comebacks, but he hasn't had a typical
monster
Mahomes
stat
day yet.
Game.
Yes, in the Super Bowl.
All right, check in on Brock, who led the league in passer rating, of course, and has had a few comebacks of late. I know you think that was a bad stat. I actually thought that was actually pretty good.
What?
That they've been trailing so much in the playoffs.
Okay.
I thought that was a
yeah,
kind
I think
of
it's better
class
to have
the
play
mojo.
Poorly
That's
didn't play
what I'm
well.
About the
yeah,
mojo.
A little bit of momentum. So can I just ask you a real quick question on
yeah.
that? If they had led every minute of every game, you think that would be bad?
No, but I think you would say that he hadn't faced adversity.
Right. Okay. All right.
Here's the best games against. Oh no, I'm sorry. Here's Brock first. Take a listen.
That's the nature of it. You're in the NFL. Everybody's going to be watching you. You're in a spotlight. People are going to, you know, obviously want to see you success, have success, and some people are going to want to see your downfall. Like, that's just the nature of it. And so, honestly, it makes it entertaining. It makes it sort of fun. Do I get wrapped up in it? No. But obviously, you know, you hear things every so often, and I think at the end of the day, after all this is said and done, it'll be something sort of fun for everybody to look back at.
Okay, so here are the best games against the Chiefs defense, and I don't know if you're calling any of these necessarily an A, maybe some solid B pluses there. It's Goff, Cousins, what could have been, huh? And Jordan Love. Everybody else
three games
passing under 200 yards, 16 touchdowns, 15 turnovers with a passer rating around 78.
And shout out Kirk Cousins, who tore his Achilles, stayed quiet about it, and then danced on stage yesterday at the ESPYs, which was pretty, maybe the most impressive thing I've seen from an Achilles
honors.
Patient.
And his was a lot
yeah,
later.
This is pretty good, but go ahead. Sorry.
Brew, you had a hole in one, though?
Mm.
Brew, are you expecting an A game out of Brock?
They need an A game out of Brock, yes. I think so. I'm not saying
this is the least base.
A plus.
The base on
no,
that.
No, I'm not saying an A plus game.
You are shook.
A plus.
No, I'm not shook. Brew has buyer's remorse.
No, 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 no. I just told you how. I told you how he handles the blitz.
I'm just saying.
I told you how he handles the blitz. I told you how they handle man coverage.
Oh my gosh.
All right, and also Spags gives quarterbacks fits with his disguises.
Yeah.
Purdy is one of the quickest, that's one of his strengths. Quick processor. All right, so I think he will be able to recognize when they disguise and then switch out of it after the snap.
Sure.
He will recognize that and go to the right man. So I'm expecting a clean game, maybe one turnover at the max, and clean game otherwise.
Okay.
And
wait,
maybe not 300 yards, but multiple touchdowns.
Did you say one turnover, but a clean game?
No, I said besides that. Besides maybe one turnover, I know one turnover is not
clean. You sound like a B game.
Maybe one.
That's like a B game.
Nah, look,
two touchdowns, a turnover, 250.
If he wins and is it horrible, okay. I mean, they can't win without him being horrible. But if he wins and plays fairly well,
that's A game. He gets an A.
No, I'm saying he's going to get in play an A game.
Okay. So this
I'm
is.
I'm telling you.
Okay. All right.
Is, sometimes okay. Bruce says things and I say, man, you went first and you said exactly what I was going to say. This is one of those times where it's not exactly that. But it might as well have been, because my first thing I had jotted down was, well, is he going to be graded on a real scale or some weird Brock Purdy curve? And it sounds like what Brew is saying is, if he wins and doesn't have a total disaster, he gets an A, which is not how we've done grades
he gets a Super Bowl
on
ring.
This show. Right, I understand, but that's not what we're asking here. So here's the thing. It's a 0% chance he has an A game. It's not 0% the Niners win, but the Niners, coaches, fans, players, media, everyone knows that if they are going to win, it's going to be because of this guy on the board and not this guy. Mm-hmm. It is going to be because Christian McCaffrey has a monster game. And so here's the deal. We have not seen Brock Purdy against this Chiefs defense except for very limited last year and when they were blowing out the Niners and he came in and threw a pick, but it didn't matter. He was one of some of his first action. But so the Chiefs finished number two in yards, number two in points. Number one in yards was Cleveland, 2 Kansas City. Number one in points was Baltimore, 2 Kansas City. How did Brock Purdy look against Cleveland and Baltimore? Now, we can show it to you. Now, I understand against Cleveland there was a light mist, you don't have to deal with that.
It was a thunderstorm.
Okay, well, against Baltimore is perfect conditions, and he threw 4 interceptions. And that was a game that even Brew, I think, after the game was like, okay, fine, he's not the league MVP.
Yeah.
And since then, he's yet to play a great game start to finish. Not a single one.
The next game was
he was fine.
Good,
right. And then in the playoffs, he has been bad and then good. Bad and then good. And so, no. Against this, what is... People think Monday is going to be a coronation, if you believe the Chiefs are going to win, a coronation of Mahomes. And sure, maybe. But you know the other thing that's going to happen Monday? And this is one of those things, Wilds, when you're going to have to remind me, Nick, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. You're not supposed to be angry. You know what's going to be on a lot of television Monday morning and afternoon? Wow. That Chiefs defense. Who knew? When the answer was, anyone paying attention. And so this Chiefs defense with Steve Spagnuolo, who by Wilds count is about to join Chuck Knoll, 4-time Super Bowl champion, because the coordinating rings count the same as the head coaching rings, a Hall of Famer, is going to put Purdy in the blender for 3.5 hours on Sunday.
Okay.
I'm just going to be humble and wait.
It's a great
humble
pick, by
you.
It's great for
wait.
The show. If we knew this, we would have done it on Monday and had a lot more content.
You really? You thought I was thinking
yes.
this?
Yes.
Yeah, you 100%. Thought.
We're dragging it out.
Yeah. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time now for a Kansas City segment where we run through several concerns for the defending Super Bowl champions. My pitch for this was Kansas City problem-a-cue. Didn't hit.
Like barbecue?
Yeah, but problems.
Okay.
I was outvoted. So we went with chief concern. First up, Christian McCaffrey. Won offensive player of the year and hasn't slowed down in the playoffs, averaging around 125 total yards, give or take. 2 touchdowns per game. Nick, we'll start with you. Is CMC a chief concern?
No, he's actually the only concern.
He's not a chief concern.
He is the chief concern. The only concern. Chief concern would imply that you have a long list and he's chief. He is the only. Listen, their path is, as I mentioned earlier, Terrell Davis in the 97 Super Bowl. 150-some yards, 30 carries, 3 touchdowns. The Chiefs have, listen, unlike, you know, in the lead up to Chiefs Bills, where it's like, well, let's spend half the time talking about a couple defensive players that are missing. Believe it or not, the Chiefs are missing 2 starting defensive linemen. It hasn't been mentioned because it's football and you're supposed to be able to deal with it. But with Charles Omenihu out on the right defensive end spot, and then also Derek Nnadi, their nose tackle out, my fear, Greg, for this game would be Christian McCaffrey behind Trent Williams again and again and again. So, yes, he is, to me, the biggest concern.
Yeah, he's a chief concern. When you look at what this offense is based upon, it's based upon establishing the run and then getting the ball out of Brock Purdy's hands quickly. When you listen to why he struggled in early playoff games against the Green Bay Packers, he was pressing, he was a little nervous. Well, to eliminate those nerves or to lessen those nerves early in the game, you got to believe he's going to be a large part of what they do as far as getting the ball out of Brock Purdy's hands, he and obviously the other cast of guys.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. I don't see 30 carries. I mean, they don't really do that.
Yeah, that's
but
a lot.
Yeah, he'll, but if he's running well, that'll open up other things.
He has 30, the Niners will win.
Well, yeah, no, true. I mean, I see if he's 20, low 20s, but then obviously they're getting the ball to him, you know, passing to him as well. But they need him to have a huge game, no doubt. So, yeah, okay. He's a big concern.
All right. Next up, and they've gotten better of late. But Kansas City did lead the league in drops this season. In fact, it was the worst rate in 3 years.
Basically 3 years ago, that one there.
out of the last 3 years, the Chiefs would still lead the league in drops. Uh-huh. So apropos, are drops a chief concern, especially if my guy Kadarius Toney gets some run?
No, we fixed it. Mahomes is throwing undroppable balls.
Undroppable.
So,
oh, Toney.
So how about this? He's targeted Kelce these playoffs 27 times. Kelce had 3 drops in the Miami game.
Mm-hmm.
And so 26 of the 27 times he's targeted Kelce have been right on target. One overthrow in the end zone. The last 2 rounds, how has Mahomes done targeting his top 2 guys? Well, he's thrown them 30 balls. How many have they caught? Oh, wait, 28.
Pretty good.
So if those are guys are going to get the vast majority of targets. And then, while you showed an MBS highlight that was from so long ago, it might as well have been in standard definition, just a couple of weeks ago, MBS had the catch of the postseason to seal the Ravens game. So, no, that's old news.
Okay.
So, no, they're not a
chief
concern.
Yeah, I'm with
you
on this. No.
Really?
It's not.
When
you can go back to the Buffalo Bills game when MBS was in the slot and he had the inside fade, and everybody was like, oh, my goodness, they're going to MBS. Well, yes. This is what Patrick Mahomes was trying to tell us all season long. I'm going to continue to go to these guys, and they're going to come through. They have delivered in the postseason. So, no, it is not a chief concern.
It is absolutely a chief concern.
That's right.
When Giannis Antetokounmpo hit, 17 of 19 free throws in the NBA Finals game, were free throws no longer a concern of his? No. MBS drops balls. I mean, that's just through his career. Now, he still made some great plays, too, but he drops passes. McColl makes mistakes. Yeah, it's a concern.
That is correct.
I'm rooting for the Chiefs. Wilds is starting to come my way.
I'm rooting for the Chiefs, but you're just spitting facts.
The guys that you guys are worried about, they're not going to get targets, guys.
They're going to get some
targets. It's going to be Noah Gray, Justin Watson, a couple MVS deep balls, and 25 targets to Kelce, Rice, and Pacheco. I'm telling you right now.
I know, but if I was the 49ers.
What? You would bribe them to put Toney on the field? What are you going to do?
If Kelce's unguardable, Rice is not unguardable.
No,
next up, San Francisco's potent weapons, Kittle and Debo, including the playoffs. These guys have very similar statistics, 100 targets even. Look at Brock Purdy. Wow. What a guy.
Well, he spreads the wealth.
Yeah, it's like, you know, candy if you have a lot of kids. Like, everyone gets the same amount. Switch up more of a cheap concern. Mm-hmm. More. Kittle or Debo?
Debo unquestionably. Listen, I think they're going to have Sneed shadow Ayuk and take him out of the game. George Kittle, for as great as he is, he's 40 yards per game in his postseason career. He has as many career playoff touchdowns as Travis Kelce had 2 weeks ago against Buffalo. So Debo is, the X factor of this game. He's almost too good of a player to call him the X factor. But yes, I think Debo's a legitimate concern because whenever he gets the ball in his hands, it feels like he's going to break the first tackle and then you got to get him down the second one. So for me, it's far and away Debo.
Yeah, I'm with you again. Debo Samuel. And when you look at Christian McCaffrey, basically what you're doing is looking at Debo Samuel because they're interchangeable at times. And you talk about who's going to cover him, that would be Trent McDuffie. Because he primarily plays in the slot. But when you decide to move a guy like that and you have the capability to move him in the backfield, what are you doing?
Get Nick Bolton on him or something.
It's a mismatch automatically. And again, You're going to want to get the ball out of Brock Purdy's hands and allow these guys opportunities to make plays with the ball in their hands sooner rather than later. He's the chief concern.
I think you guys are underestimating Kittle a little bit. Most of those playoff games, his quarterback's been Jimmy G, who, as good as he was, he wasn't Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Bobby betrayed him, too.
All right, just for the record, half of his playoff games have been with Brock Purdy. It's five.
That's four, really. Well, I mean,
okay.
the one who got hurt, yeah. Debo, I'm with you on Debo, because he can line up anywhere. They might hand the ball off to him, you know. So, and, of course, how dangerous he is after the catch. Debo.
So but how Kittle, we underestimated Kittle?
I'm just saying, y'all Nick wrote Kittle off like 40 yards.
But just
know,
what his career is. I think he's dangerous. I'm worried about
other stuff. Isn't he doing other stuff on the field? He's not just
Listen, nobody opens up a 4-yard run like George Kittle. Give me a break. Give me a break.
It is a fact.
Give me a break.
It's part of his job.
I get it. He's a very good player and I like him. But this idea that he had so much in the blocking game that there's a real argument about Kittle versus Kelce is nonsense. He would have to be Trent Williams in the blocking game to make up the gap in the receiving game. Give me a break.
Finally, ring the alarm. This story seems like it pops up every year, but this time seemingly with a little more complaining.
Yeah, like the Fields.
A fire alarm went off at the 49ers team hotel at 6 a.m.
That can't be right, Wilds.
6 a.m.
They would already been up by then.
Which in Vegas called a late night. Are Vegas distractions, and I'd consider a fire alarm the most tame, a chief concern?
These whiny babies. Okay. I was from the ESPN article. They said it went off at 6.03 a.m.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey says conspiracy was on purpose. Bosa immediately hit up the D-lineman group chat. And they also, by the way, talked about how they remain unhappy about the field conditions, and now this has only compounded it. Then in the Athletic story, we get this, Jim. I have to read it to you. Safety Deshaun Gibson, who said he'd never seen so many sleepy faces in the morning as he did Thursday, went as far as saying the disruption made practice later that day a little more difficult. Next, practice seemed a little harder. Our bodies were a little tired, but I think we'll get caught up on our sleep today. Wait till we hear the post-game quotes about we couldn't even listen to Kyle in the halftime locker room. Ucker was so damn loud. This whole thing's been ridiculous. These whiny, whiny babies. 6.03 a.m., be up. Super Bowl week. Well, get to work. Wilds gets up at 6 a.m. to go to the No Excuses Power Plant and do push-ups.
But just for the record, Greg, they're not working 9-to-5 jobs. They have to be at peak performance at 6 p.m.
The article said Kittle's alarm was for 6:10.
Oh, God,
and this went off at 6:03, and we're like, oh, my God.
Greg, is this
heavens to Betsy.
It's not a chief concern, but it is unsettling because it's something like for this week, being that it is Super Bowl week, being that you are going to be in a hotel, not your normal environment for the week, you try to keep things as consistent as possible. So anything that disrupts that, it matters. And although, as you point out, they're crying about it. If this were the Chiefs, you would be on the
This happened to the Chiefs in a playoff game before the Patriots 8 years ago, and nobody remembers because who cares?
I'm with Greg. Go ahead.
It is a concern simply because it's something that's disrupting what normal looks like. However, at the end of the day, these guys know they got to just go out there and play the game.
Wow. It's a chief concern, and I'm going to give you credit for this. I've learned the power of the bulletin board from you this year. And they got more than bulletin board perceived slights.
Oh, interesting.
All right? They are practicing on a field that's as soft as pillows. All right? They did have this fire alarm go off and all that. They've watched TV and seen everybody except Brew pick everybody.
The Niners are the favorite.
I didn't see one pundit today pick the Niners except me.
That's right.
All right? They see that. They feel slighted. Bulletin board, you know it as well as anybody. It's a chief concern.
Pretty good, bro. Now you're back. You're on a little bit of a roller coaster.
Miles, come on over.
Lamar, as expected, takes home his second MVP. 49 out of 50 votes, Greg. Here's how the voting went down. Lamar, number one. Dak with the silver. Christian McCaffrey with the bronze. And Purdy, Josh Allen, who came in fifth, but he did get one first place votes, then Tyreek, and then Mahomes. So, do you have an issue Greg, with Lamar not being unanimous or Allen getting one first place vote?
No, I don't have an issue at all, and neither does Lamar. Like, he won the MVP. Like, at the end of the day, when you win an award as prestigious as most valuable player of the National Football League, I don't care if you just won it by a strand of hair. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that you are able to be announced as the most valuable player, that says it all right there. So, for me, these guys played great games this year. Josh Allen, we know the numbers that he put up, the hole that he's had to dig his team out of, and they did something they did at least enough. They got to their Super Bowl.
They got to their Super Bowl and only lost by field goal.
But I don't think it's not something that I think Lamar is going to look at and be like, man, I should have been unanimous.
No, but it would have been, he would have become the first player ever to win two unanimous Super Bowl or MVPs. Brady's the other, so it's only two of them that have. It would have been nice, but I agree with what you said. I think he definitely should have won it. But I don't think it should have been unanimous. You could have justified giving Dak some votes or one or two of the 49ers. I don't think Josh should have been the only other guy to get a vote. I will say that. He finished fifth. You would think that means he finished second if he got one vote. But no, I think because of the numbers, you know, that unanimous, it shouldn't have been unanimous, but he definitely should have won.
So my takeaway was from a different part of the evening, and by that I mean the entire part of the evening, because then this morning after all the awards were announced, we got all the votes. And can we show the teams that had players or coaches get a first or second place vote? What you're going to see is it's all the great teams in the league. Niners, Rams, Lions, Ravens, Cowboys, Dolphins, those all had multiple. All you go up and down. How many teams are there? 18 playoff teams. Who nobody involved in the team, coach, rookie, defense, offense, got a first or second place vote. The Chiefs and the Packers, who were 9-8 and kind of surprising people. So, Dusty, if you will, the board, quickly. Listen, you guys questioned why I put this on there.
Sensitive.
You questioned why I put this on there. I take these awards very seriously. We're about to have someone on the show who I thought was going to win Offensive Player of the Year, Bijan Robinson. The fact that the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl and 12 coaches got Coach of the Year, first, second, third, and Andy Reid didn't get a single one, hadn't won it in 22 years. Josh Allen gets first place MVP vote. Can't even throw Rashee Rice a second place Rookie of the Year vote. Okay. All right. It was noted.
Mahomes got two third place votes, two fourth, and two fifth.
Yeah. Zero first or second place votes is what that graphic said, sir.
Bijan, next.
Bijan agrees with me.
Welcome back to an electric show. Joining us now on behalf of a partnership with C4 Energy is one of the most electric players in the entire league. It's Bijan Robinson. Bijan, thanks for joining us. I'm going to start off with a double question. First part, tell us about your partnership with C4. Second part, give us your bold Super Bowl prediction.
Yes, sir. So with my partnership with C4, you know, we've been a great partner for a long time. And as you can see here, we got in my opinion, the best drink. And it's the most flavorful drink. But, you know, it's a very good partnership. You know, just the performance energy for all the athletes, you know, that love to use it. And not just for athletes, but for people that, you know, are in working life and that just are in a day-to-day life, you know, this is a great pick-me-up to have. So, you know, I love being here with C4, and I love just partnering with them for not just me but for everybody. And then for my Super Bowl pick, I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs.
Oh, there we go.
27 to 20. I'm going to say 27-20.
Smart man.
That's my pick.
You're giving the Niners maybe a little more credit than I would, but that's a good pick. Whenever we have the opportunity to talk to someone who was, you know, a high school record breaker, somebody who was a standout athlete from a very young age, I'm always curious. What was the first time, how old were you, and do you remember the moment, the first time someone, an adult, said to you, I think you can be a professional athlete. I think this can be what you do for a living.
Yeah, so my sophomore year of high school, it was like kind of towards the end of the season when playoffs were about to start. And, you know, one of the scouts, a college scout was telling me, he was saying like, hey, man, I don't know if you want to do this for a long time, but, he was saying, like, this could be something that you can dominate for such a very long time, just off of your playing style, like off of how you run the ball, how you catch the ball, how you do a lot of different things. And, you know, he was saying, like, I'm a physical runner, but, like, how I run the ball, I can be in the NFL for a long time. So it was definitely a cool moment hearing that. And just as a sophomore in high school, you know, that always makes you happy, but you really don't know what God really has for you until it happens. So, you know, now that I'm here, I'm like, man, I mean, he was kind of right from the beginning. So it was pretty cool.
Bijan, you had nearly 1,500 yards, you had 8 touchdowns, and yet I think a lot of people thought, hey, maybe could have even done more. How did your rookie year stack up to your own expectations going into it?
Yeah, well, for me, you know, my expectations are high, and you know, when I look at expectations, I always shoot for the stars, and you know, try to get those 2,000 yards and you know, achieve accomplishments like that. But I think for my rookie year, like, you know, I had a fun year, man. I mean, it was definitely a blessing, like what God has done for me in my first rookie year, and just for me to learn and to, you know, go through ups, go through downs. You know, there was some adversity that I had to overcome throughout the season, and you know, for me, just, you know, being a rookie in this league and trying to find my feet and find my way, like, it was something that I really took pride in. But you know, I think everything happens for a reason, and you know, obviously, you know, I would always want to achieve more for my team and for my teammates. But I knew for what was to come my first year, you know, I was pretty happy with it.
Bijan, you mentioned your ability to run and catch the ball. When you watch the Super Bowl, obviously Christian McCaffrey is great at doing both. Is that somebody you could see yourself being used, like, you know, throughout your career?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love how they, you know, put in a package and put in different packages to get him in open space so he can, you know, use his God-given talents as well. And for me, like, I want to be in that same category, in that same talk. You know, I start talking to Christian during the middle of the season, and you know, he just started giving me a lot of pointers on how to take care of my body, how to do a lot of different things. And you know, with him, you know, I look up to that dude so much, and he'll check on me throughout the season to see if everything's going good. But yeah, that's kind of somebody who I want to, you know, aspire my game after and you know, get onto the things that he's been doing.
Beginning of the year, there was a lot of talk about the undervaluing the running backs and guys not being able to get the contracts that they deserve. This year, though, I mean, McCaffrey obviously is a huge, you know, impact on the Niners. Isaiah Pacheco, the Baltimore Ravens run game, James Cook, like, the value of the running back was clear throughout the whole season and the playoffs. Do you think that could change some of the perception, or have you talked to other running backs about this?
Yeah, man, I think it'll really change, especially this year. Like, you know, it was really good that Christian won Offensive Player of the Year, just to show, you know, what the value of the running back still holds. And, you know, for me, I think, I mean, you have to have a good running back, a great running back on your team to want to be successful, clearly. And, you know, for me, being one of those guys on a team that, you know, is aspiring to be at the Super Bowl and to be at this point, you know, one day, you know, it's something that's, you know, really important for an offense and really important for a team. So, yeah, I think the position is starting to, you know, find its value again. And I mean, even if it's a slow process, it's starting to find it. So I really appreciate what all the guys did in the offseason. But, you know, it was good to see it during the season, too.
All right. Bijan, thank you for your time. Have a great week. Have a great sophomore season. And again, great pick. Chiefs 27-20. Broussard's got the 40.
Thank you, Bijan.
Thank you. Thank you, Bijan.
thank you, guys. We'll see you guys.
Yep.
Live from New York.
Oh, it's
the
so
show.
Good.
That just learned that Brew has picked
the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow.
As the winner of Super Bowl 50. And that
shocked.
Video was so good, I'm thinking about changing my pick.
I got nervous.
I got that much study. It's the second hour of First Things First. Today, why the 49ers are still on upset alert. I'm not moving, but it was a little nerve-wracking seeing the video. Meanwhile, does Patrick Mahomes or Kyle Shanahan, pumpkin alert, have the most to lose? But right now, Chiefs still 2.5-point underdogs. Quick history lesson. underdogs against the Ravens and the Bills, and they won them both. Andy Reid says he's okay with it. Take a listen.
I understand why we're the underdog. I get that. We had some ups and downs during the season. I never feel like an underdog.
Okay. Same with Mahomes. Are the 49ers officially on upset alert, Greg?
Of course.
And your pick. We need both.
Oh, yeah.
We need your pick.
Right now?
Give us
your pick.
Well, it's up to you.
I don't get to wait till like 4:00.
Oh, no. That's fine. You need a video in this segment.
You can lead into it. the 49ers are definitely on upset alert. Look, what the Kansas City Chiefs do very, very well, and we all see it. They come out the gate, and they're going to get points. What the 49ers defense has not done very well is stop teams from coming out the gate and getting points.
Why is that?
I don't know, Wilds.
In this game, they better figure it out.
Right. Because if you start getting behind with this quarterback and this team, with the defense that they have now, it's tough sledding. We saw that with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. It's just hard. It's a hard feat to ask a team in Brock Purdy in this offense. I don't care how many weapons you have to allow Patrick Mahomes to be out front with the lead, and then you try to play catch up. So for me, they are definitely on upset alert. Will they get upset? That's a different conversation.
Oh, well, can we have it? Who do you got?
It's 4:03.
I've got the Niners 28-24.
So it's your fourth straight week in the playoffs saying there'll be no upsets.
No upsets. This time I'll be right.
Okay. All
right. But look, they can't come out like you said. I mean, if the Chiefs march right down the field, let's say they get the ball first, they march right down the field and score, or they stop the Niners, then march right down the field. Because if they get behind too much, then you just become – you got to throw the ball all the time. Mm-hmm. You become one-dimensional. So I think I'm – the defense, Niners, we know has been better. They really haven't played great since Christmas or mid-December, whatever you want to say. But it's there. The capability is there. And they got to have some pride after what happened in these playoffs, particularly the last game against Detroit. And so I'm expecting them to have a bounce back defensive game, and then I think offensively that Purdy is very good against the blitz. The Niners themselves are very good against man-to-man coverage, which the Chiefs like to do, and obviously they've got a great run game, and I think that's the weakest part of the Chiefs' defense. So that's the formula to me for winning. Of course, they're on upset alert. I mean, the Chiefs, I think, should be favored. So they could lose, but I'm going with the Niners.
Go Wild.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I want to hear the – you've been studying the All-22. We didn't do a whole sizzle reel for it, but I know you've been studying.
He was hogging the room.
Oh,
so I had to watch a lot of it on my phone.
You haven't seen any film.
Yeah. I've been grinding. I didn't need to grind because I picked the Chiefs in September.
Yeah.
When your kids were in a swimming pool, I was picking the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's the problem if I was the 49ers. Because the answer to both of these questions is going to be the Chiefs. Who's Mike more likely to play the boring game that gets the W?
The Chiefs.
Right.
Chiefs. Who's more likely to play the super weird game where running backs are catching passes and throwing passes and there's laterals and there's strange things going on? Also the Chiefs. So the fact that they can win boring and exciting, I don't think Kyle Shanahan has any plan for that, because you have to plan for the whole spectrum of boring to weird. And then the other thing, as I've said this before, when the 49ers are up 10 points, Kyle Shanahan is going to get nervous. He's been in two Super Bowls. He's been up 10 points twice. I'm sorry, Dust. It's the truth. Trick or treat is pumpkin time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he's down a touchdown going into the fourth quarter, Kyle Shanahan will be nervous because he's 1-31, down a touchdown head into the fourth. So the fact that the Chiefs can play any way from boring to exciting, and Kyle Shanahan is going to be nervous if he's winning and nervous if he's losing, is a recipe for disaster. 24-17, Kansas City.
And the Chiefs are better.
Well, that's true.
So, and matchup wise, Legarius needs the best cover corner in football. He is going to erase Brandon Ayuk. Brew, what is your biggest concern about the Niners' offense? What has it been all year?
What offensive line?
The right, particularly right side, the right side of their offensive outside line. Hello, Chris Jones, maybe playing his last game as a Chief, who has, I think, a lock Hall of Fame spot if they win this game. If you are the best defensive player on a dynasty, the only all-pro connective tissue of the dynasty, you're in. The last time he had something on the line was $1 million in a Week 18 game against the Chargers. He set his career high for pressures in that game, even though no other Chiefs were playing. You have the Steve Wilks defense that wants to go wide nine. Okay, Isaiah Pacheco will take advantage of that, and the Chiefs have shown they will. You have Niners defensive ends that are susceptible to what? Jet sweeps and screen games. Who is the best in the history of football at designing those? Andy Reid. And
there's Tony time?
But no, Mecole Hardman maybe. By the way, you have perfect conditions, which while it's good for Brock Purdy because he melts in the rain, Mahomes has, much like LeVar Ball, never lost. Ooh. Except this one, it's real in a dome. And I did this for you, Greg, even though I don't know who you're picking yet. Brock Purdy this postseason, I know he has had a couple nice moments, but the overall production against bad defenses, can we show it, please? This is one of my favorites. Stole this from Coward, but he stole a lot from me this week, so I don't care. Do we agree those are basically identical numbers?
We do.
Brock Purdy this postseason. And since I said I did it for Greg, it's a little Easter egg on who that is. Who is that? Danny Dimes last postseason.
He was rolling.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well,
you do have to give Purdy more credit for the comebacks.
Yeah,
that's what you've
fine.
Been waiting all year to
that,
see.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And he showed some
that, that's fine.
And I don't know. I don't want to interrupt you, Nick.
No, I'm done.
I think Shanahan gets more nervous if they're up 10. Now, not saying he's counting on a comeback, but he's seen it the last 2 weeks. If they're down 7 going into the fourth, I think now he actually believes – we can actually win this game now. If they're up 10, that's when he's – I'm not saying he's panicked, but that's when he's melted down. And if he loses another game up 10 in the fourth quarter, I mean, that's
crazy. Mahomes has had a second-half lead in 15 playoff games, and he's 14-1 in them. So I would not assume that that's going to – that would be a bad strategy for Kyle. Who do you have?
All right, so I already gave my apology to Chiefs Kingdom earlier this week, and I do owe another apology to Brock Purdy, man, because championship week, you came with it.
All right.
And you showed me that you are a difference maker at the quarterback position.
Wow.
With that being said, I apologize to Chief Kingdom for a reason. I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes.
There we go, Craig.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
Well done. That was, you tricked me for a moment, but well done.
Do you have a score, Greg?
Yes, I do have a score. 35.
Wow.
Yes, Chiefs. 35. 17.
Wow.
You got a round.
That's we both have a similar margin. I had 31-13.
No one thinks that the Chiefs are going to score a lot of points.
Yeah, this will be the week. God, what a great story it would be.
Nick
Boy. Time to make some money. We didn't do this last week because there wasn't games, but just so you know, I picked the Pro Bowl right, too. Should count on the record. That's 2-0 last week. Two easy underdog wins. The Lions covered me, even though they blew the game. So, going into the Super Bowl, we knew we needed to get the Super Bowl right in order to be above 500 for the postseason. But before that, some props for you. Four quick props. Brock Purdy to throw at least one pick. You only have to lay -140. There are going to be batted balls galore. Brock Purdy barely being able to see over the line of scrimmage. Chris Jones, Giants. What say? He is. That's why he is Drew Brees' son-in-law.
He's an inch taller
according
than Drew Brees.
I mean,
an inch taller.
What?
Chiefs don't really generate turnovers.
But the Chiefs lead the league.
They do bat a lot of balls.
Actually,
they do,
sir.
They do lead the league.
And
you know what?
Tips and overthrows got to have those. That's what we always said in the defensive backs meeting.
This is true.
His next prop. Mahomes, over 26.5 rushing yards.
I like that.
The only way it doesn't come through is if, like, the last time the Chiefs played the Niners in the Super Bowl, he hit the over by 12 yards and then took 14 yards of kneel downs because they had to be funny kneel downs, wasting time, and it went under. He's going to run all over this Niners defense. All of a sudden, you'd be like, how can Fred Warner not catch him? Because Mahomes is just a little faster than whoever's chasing him. Next, Brandon Ayuk. Erased by Legarius Sneed, under 62.5 receiving yards. And then the one fun long shot at 9.5-1, tight end 2, Noah Gray to score a touchdown.
I like that too.
The Chiefs love that 13 personnel, yeah, three tight end set. Noah Gray will leave this game with half as many career postseason touchdowns as George Kittle has. There's and then, of course, the pick for the game. For the third straight week, you are giving me the best quarterback to ever live and points. The Chiefs getting points. 2.5-point underdogs. They've been underdogs four of the last five playoff games, and they have, let me check, won all of them. There's Nick's picks for the week.
It's solid.
Resounding success.
I like the Noah Gray pick a lot.
Yeah, not, he's, by the way, America, he's 47-1 to score the first touchdown. But that would be a little greedy. 9.5-1 to score a touchdown. A little 47-1 first touchdown. Noah Gray.
Pretty good.
All right, play action coming up. Line. Most to gain, most to lose.
Just most to lose. We're going negative. We're going dark.
But in the read, it's most to gain. Welcome back to the show. Earlier this week, we went through Super Bowl most to gain list, which was headlined by Patrick Mahomes, Kyle Shanahan, and coming in the number two spot, you put yourself on the list.
American.
Okay. Today we're going to dig a little deeper on the flip side of the list. Who has the most to lose? Brew, do you want to go even though it's Nick's list?
It's not my list. I don't have a list. We're all
You're not throwing
answered.
The list up?
No. No,
I was
no list.
Thoroughly confused.
No,
I'm sorry.
It's just who has the most to lose on
something. Oh, shoot. Yeah. Sorry about that.
I think Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
For reasons you've pointed out, Wiles. I mean, we refer to him as a genius, and he is great offensively, but you can be great and a great offensive mind and be an OC. You know, when you're a head coach, we measure you by winning the biggest games, or at least if you never get to the big game, okay, but he's getting there or getting close and falling apart in those games. And as you said, like, if they're up 10 and he shows visible panic, whether it's in the play calling or whatever, that's not a good sign at all. And that'll be like, we got to do something.
But did you think that's what happened in their first Super Bowl?
No.
That Shanahan panicked?
I did think, though, they were running the ball. They had obviously run the ball the whole playoffs and done great.
Yep.
And they ran the ball well against the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs were rallying, so I guess they had to throw some. But I still would have liked to have seen them stick with the run.
He dialed up the perfect play.
Yeah, and Garoppolo missed it, the pass
enough.
To
if that's your quarterback, it's not the perfect play.
But
I do think if he loses, Nick, I think a lot of people are going to look – there's obviously no shame in losing to the Chiefs, but people are going to look at him because they are technically the favorite. And 5 years from now, nobody's going to be saying the Chiefs were just better.
So can I ask you guys, since you guys have zeroed in on Kyle Shanahan, let's say they lose and Jed York, because he can't blame the refs this time, says, you know what, need a fall guy, I'm firing him.
No,
of course he wouldn't, but this is my point. Don't you think you would have dozen teams in the league,
of course,
lining
Absolutely.
Up to hire.
Of course.
So then, do you think win or lose, he's one of the five best coaches in the NFL?
Yes, probably.
Okay, so then I don't understand. I guess I don't understand your harsh criticism.
I'm not a big fan of silver medals. I'm not a big fan of having 10-point leads in the fourth quarter and not being able to hold on to them. And I'm not a big fan of being 1-for-31. Down a touchdown into the fourth quarter until Brock Purdy showed up.
I'm not a big fan of everybody blaming somebody who's standing on the sideline calling plays.
Oh, who are you blaming?
The players.
But a lot of his – would you – I hear you. But a lot of his offense is all based on the play action. And that's what happens. Like, you know, you get in those moments and you can't just run the play action. And so that's where – why he struggles at times. So if they get down – I know we're talking about them being up. But if they get down, the play action is not as effective.
I understand that. For me, it's Brock Purdy. It's Brock Purdy. And for largely because going into this game, if there is one player that you feel like you're picking them,
right,
that has to play great for this team to win or just can't be the reason why,
right, he can't be horrible,
this team lose because he plays poorly, who is that player? Brock Purdy. Yeah. He has the most pressure because there is – I don't – as great as he's been over the course of the season and for the drive against Green Bay and the comeback against the Lions, if he doesn't deliver, all that does is just erase all of what he did. It's like – absolutely. Everybody's been comparing him to Joe Montana, and I like what he's done. And like I said, he's won me over. However, Joe Montana became Joe Montana, and the catch became the catch because they actually put the cherry on top and won the Super Bowl. So now you look back to that point and say, it was in that moment where if that doesn't happen, that play doesn't happen, he was so great, such a great throw and all the things. We could say that if they are to win, we'll look at that drive against Green Bay and be similar. We'll look at the comeback against the Lions and have similar kind of talks about that.
And the, if I, before I give my answer, if I may defend silver medals just for a moment, Reed, McVay, Tomlin, Harbaugh, McCarthy, Peterson, I think, are the only active coaches with any gold medals. And so I just and by the way, McCarthy, Harbaugh, and Tomlin, it was all more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
And so there is a level of, like, I it's hard to win Super Bowls. And it's really hard when you're going up against the modern-day dynasty.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I think the ghost of 28-3
But that should be on Dan Quinn more than Kyle Shanahan.
But it's there. He wears some of it.
And that was more, in my opinion, the Atlanta defense blowing that game than the Atlanta offense. You had a 28-3 lead. But my answer, by the way, is every active quarterback if the Chiefs win. So in the decade before Brady kind of took over the league, guys who the majority of their career were in that decade – became Hall of Famers. Aikman, Elway, Favre, Kelly, Marino, Moon, Young, Kurt Warner. Like, the majority of their accomplishments. Warner kind of straddles it. Once Brady took over, in the 20 years since then, the only Hall of Famers we've had are Brady, Manning, Aaron, Breeze, Ben, with maybe for Eli. But guys like Phillip Rivers, Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, those guys are probably going to be the outside looking in because so much of quarterback Hall of Fame stuff is, did you make Super Bowl? Did you win a Super Bowl? If Mahomes is just going to gobble them all up, that there's going to be all these great players this era, there's going to be so many fewer Hall of Fame spots because they're not going to have the resume. So if he wins this one, it just is kind of a warning shot for all those other great QBs.
And Monday, the first things first, a extravaganza.
Where's Wilds?
There I am. Still behind Mahomes.
Oh, wait, why? That's not
smaller, I like that.
Smaller. You can't be smaller than us.
I like it.
Why?
Because people have to hunt
if
for
I end
me.
Up being right,
I look like the
you're
trope.
A little smaller.
Yeah. Medals time. Early in Lakers Nuggets, LeBron, beautiful touch pass. I thought it was a mistake at first, then I realized it was on purpose, and then I watched it again, and I thought it was on accident. I'm not sure where I landed on it. Lakers lost for the seventh consecutive time. Although,
seventh consecutive time.
Did he get an assist for that?
Yeah.
Not overall.
No, to Denver.
Yeah, to Denver.
Remember, Darvin Ham was like,
yeah, we know. We saw your tweet. Bronze medal, KD, 31-8-7, and a nice win over the Jazz. Silver medal, Steph, 42. In a 20-point blowout of the Pacers. And then for the gold, my large adult Slovenian son, in a game that I wasn't able to attend, but I sent my emissary Ramsey there, but he was rooting for the Knicks, oddly. 39-8-11. What's up?
Why did Luka get the gold there, not Steph?
What, because of the rebounds and the assists and the opponent?
What the opponent mean? Beat the Pacers.
And he beat the Knicks.
And in Indy.
He beat the Knicks in New York.
Yeah, but everybody's hurt.
And Thibodeau teams don't care. Can we get to headlines?
Monday morning headlines. It's time now where Bruce Starr becomes even brighter.
I'm going to start critiquing Weird and Wonderful.
As we go for it. You do. Good. As we lift the ban on puns and allow Brew to flex the muscles he honed and toned while spilling ink
for
some
of
the finest publications in all the land, it's Monday morning headlines time.
Everybody knows what mine is. Never a doubt. Come on, guys. Give me a break. Mahomes paints his masterpiece, officially enters GOAT discussion.
What discussion?
He officially. Well, just do yours. We don't have time.
Sure, I'll do mine. Tony.
No.
You've done it again. Kadarius Toney's huge play breaks game open for Chiefs.
I hope we see Kadarius Toney in
Me
that
too.
Game. I'll tell you this. Here's mine. Irrelevant no more.
Oh.
Purdy Niners make history. He'd be the first Mr. Irrelevant to win a Super Bowl in Chiefs magic carpet ride. And I don't
Why
know,
are
I
mean, you on there?
What's the magic
carpet ride? Dusty insisted. He loved my guts.
Yeah, and what's
the
magic
carpet ride? He was like, Drew, you were the only pundit with the guts to pick
They're
the Niners.
They're the favorites, and you
I don't know why.
We'll see you Monday.
I don't know how.